Today, we continue in our study of 1 Peter. Last week, my wife said, "You spent all that time in context." And I did. I spent a bunch of time in context, but we eventually got started in chapter 4. We're in chapter 4, and again, a lot of what's going on in chapter 4, the foundation of that is what's happening in chapter 3. And Paul is talking about the sufferings of Christ and what that's for and what we're to do with that. So here we're going to read again today, 1 Peter chapter 4, and I'm going to read the first 11 verses. "Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. In all this, they are surprised that you don't run with them into the same excesses of dissipation, and they malign you. But they will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For the gospel has for this purpose been preached even to those who are dead, that though they are judged in the flesh as men, they may live in the spirit according to the will of God. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be of sound judgment, sober spirit for the purpose of prayer. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sin. Be hospitable to one another without complaint, as each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Father, thank you for your word and this text. Again, we thank you that you have brought us into union with this word. Now, let this word rule and reign in our hearts and our minds. God, help us as we strive to do so. Thank you again for this time. I pray for your grace. Protect us. Help us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we started last week, again, I did a lot of context from chapter 3. So we didn't really go too awful far into chapter 4, but we did make it a little ways. And if you remember, the first point was this fervent love that is demonstrated and demanded. Now, again, we started all of this off with that therefore, and you have to ask yourself, you know, what's the therefore? What is it that he's talking about? And he's talking about the gospel being preached in the sufferings of Christ and how he's done that in his great love for us. And so for us, then, he says, since Christ also suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Since Christ suffered, arm yourselves with the same purpose. This is what you're here for. And I know that's a hard thing to hear for a lot of folks, because most of the time, people don't recognize their purpose in suffering. They go through things, they go through difficulty, and they just try to get through it. That's all there is to it. They waste that suffering. They don't take the opportunity to point others to Christ, because that, in and of itself, is a demonstration of love. And that's what we're looking for, a fervent love that is demonstrated, but this is what's demanded. Peter says, look, since Jesus suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with this same purpose. So it's not a suggestion. It's not as if any of us, you might experience suffering. Is that the reality for us? Anybody in here that hadn't experienced some sort of suffering? We're all going to suffer. The question is, what are you going to do with that suffering? What are you going to do with that sense of loss? What are you going to do with the pain? What are you going to do with the financial loss? What are you going to do with the hard relationships? Are you going to point people to Jesus, or are you going to point them to you and your suffering? Those are two different things. A lot of folks find their identity in their suffering. They don't want to be made well. We've talked a lot about that. Remember when Jesus goes to the pool at Bethesda and he sees the guy that's been laying there for 28 years. And he asked him the craziest question ever in my mind at the time. You know what he asked him? Do you want to be made well? And I'm thinking, Jesus, he's been there 28 years. Why would he not want to be made well? But you know what? Some folks find their identity in the suffering, not in the delivery. And see, we, in union with Christ, we find our identity in Christ. So even our suffering finds its purpose in Christ. And we then become those who point people to Him. I mentioned last week when you're asked, how do you do this, man? How do you handle this? John, how do you live having lost a leg? How do you live having lost a loved one? How do you live having lost your job? How are you doing all of these things? And what do we tend to do? Man, it's been rough. We're just sucking it up. Tying a knot in it and holding on. Y'all ever heard that one? You ever said that one? How many of us point that, like Paul did? I'm weak. I'm not able to do this. I'm not able to be comforted. I'm not able to be confident. I'm not able to continue in faith. But God is. And it's His grace that I'm leaning into, that I'm holding on to. I'm pointing folks to Him, not me, not my suffering. And I'm telling you, this is our purpose in our suffering. And we're not always suffering, but when we are, Peter says, arm yourselves for this same purpose. This is what you're here for, to have a purpose-filled suffering. Now, the first point there was that demonstrated love. The second point was this purpose-filled suffering, and this is where I got to last week. Verse 1, arm yourselves for the same purpose. We're to use our suffering to point others to Christ. This is the purest form of love. To resist the temptation for self-pity, selfish pride, so that we can point others to Jesus, the source of our strength, the source of our comfort, the source of everything that we are. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, take up the full armor of God. Now, normally, when we read that, we're talking about what? What are we talking about? Spiritual warfare, right? Well, guess what? Pointing people to Christ in the middle of your suffering is a form of spiritual warfare. It's what my flesh wants to do. What does my flesh want to do when I begin to suffer? Y'all know me. What do I want to do? Woe is me. Help me. I'm going to let everybody know I got this problem. Help me. Well, that's my flesh that cries out. But when I'm pointing others to Christ, I want them to know where my help is. Who is it that is my ever-present help in my time of need? Who is it that is a strong foundation? Who is it? See, all of these things are different in my life now than before. Paul says, take up the full armor so that you'll be able to resist in the evil day, to resist the temptation to point people at me. Oh, look at me. Look how bad I've got it. Having done everything to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth. Where do we find the truth about what's happening in our suffering? Where do you find that? Do you find that in your girlfriends or your fishing buddies? Is that where you find it? Hopefully you got some that will give you the truth. But where does the source of that truth come from? Because what happens when I start suffering and I go to my buddies? What do they do? Yes. There you go. That's right. They validate what I'm saying, don't they? Most often. Oh, yeah, you don't deserve this. You don't deserve that. That's what they do, don't they? Because they love you. They're trying to, well, they don't know about loving you, but they're trying to agree with you, whatever. I need somebody that's going to tell me the truth about what's going on. God's using you for this purpose at this time, in this moment. God's using you. Point others to Him. I'm weak, but He is strong. Like I said 2 weeks ago, we teach our kids that song. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. There's nothing my God cannot do. But we forget that as adults, I reckon. But the kids will point people to God. Am I doing the same thing? I want to hear the truth from God's Word. That's what I want to hear. It's interesting with Bubba. As I sat and read the Psalms to him, the Psalms were a source of comfort and strength to fight the temptations. That's what it's for. The truth is what we have to gird our loins with. And there's all kind of teaching on these particular verses here that we're not going to get deeply into. But having put on the breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Christ, not mine. What's the righteousness of Christ covering? If it's a breastplate, it's covering my heart. And so I'm coming to tell others of His goodness, His righteousness. Having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, I'm no longer at war with God. Woo! And He's no longer at war with me. Now, guess what? We're in union. Isn't that great? Isn't that great? That's what the gospel of peace is. Sometimes we think of peace, and peace is a calm sense of assurance and a lack of anxiety in a moment. But here, that the gospel of peace is that those things come when I'm no longer at war with God. See, sometimes we will pray for people, and we'll pray, Lord, give them the peace that passes all understanding. Well, you know what? That's not rocket science. That's spelled out in Scripture how to get that. Rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Through prayer, or by prayer, through supplication and thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do we begin our suffering and our response to suffering with rejoicing in the Lord? Because we all want the peace that passes all understanding, don't we? All of us want that. But do we begin with rejoicing to get that? Now, this is not some willy-nilly, crazy, feigned joy. This is the joy of the Lord that is my strength. This is trusting in Him, knowing that He is good and He does all things well. And I can trust Him with this situation, with this suffering, to know that He will bring this together for good because He loves me, because I love Him. We're in union together because I am in Christ. You see how important it is to be in Christ, this for all the Sunday school stuff. You see how important that is? If you want to experience that peace that He's talking about, you have to be in Christ. In addition to all, take up the shield of faith, which will be able to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. How many times in our suffering do we go looking to friends, to doctors, to the internet, to anything else, but returning to God's Word to get the truth of how to deal with our suffering? And this is one of the important things that we need to understand when we start thinking in terms of our suffering not being in vain, but our suffering being pointing others to Christ, is we need to make sure that we're rooted and grounded in the truth of God's Word. So I encourage people, when I sit with people who are sick or have talked and visited with folks who are sick, I encourage them, read God's Word. And I will read to folks, but you know what? It's much better if they read it for themselves. Because the Holy Spirit speaks to us primarily through His Word. And if I want to understand my suffering and what I'm going through or how my suffering can be used for God's glory, I need to find that in His Word. Not from some jackleg preacher like me. I'm going to love on you. I'm going to try and do everything I can, but I'm going to point you to God's Word. Because that is where our strength comes from, and that's where our comfort comes from. It's His Word. It is His Word, then, that gives us this. Paul says in Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all the perseverance and petition for all the saints. Pray on my behalf that utterance may be given to me to open my mouth to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel. Now, what is Paul talking about here? He's writing this to the Ephesian church. Right? Now, where is Paul when he writes to the Ephesian church? Prison. He's in the middle of suffering. What is he asking them to pray for him? He says, you put on all the armor of God, and this is what I want you to pray for. What is he asking for? Pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the boldness of the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. I'm in prison. Pray for me to be able to open my mouth that I may be able to proclaim the mystery of the gospel. And we talked about this morning. What is the mystery of the gospel? Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says, man, you pray that I got boldness to proclaim that truth. Now you're going to have to gird up, man, because this is battle. I'm in prison. I'm in amongst all the dead folks. And I need you to pray hard. He says, this is what I want you to pray. I want you to pray on my behalf, that I'll have boldness to open my mouth and speak boldly as I ought to speak. So that's our prayer for one another. When you begin to go through hardship, I'm going to pray for you to have the peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to help you see from God's Word where that comes from. I'm going to trust that you're trusting in Jesus, but I'm also going to pray for you to open your mouth and speak the truth. When it gets hard, I'm trusting in Jesus. I mean, I do not have the strength to walk this path alone, and I'm in union with Him, I'm in fellowship with Him, and He is the one who has given me the strength to be able to take these steps. It's not that I tied a knot in it and I'm hanging on for dear life. It's that He is holding on to me. You see the difference in those two messages? You see the difference in that? And one says, I'm just doing all I can do. And it perpetuates the focus of me and the suffering. The other points to Jesus as the source and the solution of everything that I need in my suffering. And that's where we want to be. Now look, that does not discount the suffering. That does not say that the suffering doesn't hurt. It does. It's real. It changes the focus of the suffering. And it changes how we deal with that suffering. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 2, Peter says, because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And this is where we're going to pick up next week. But I no longer live for people to look at me. I no longer live for people to consider me. That time's past. That time is gone. I have ceased from sin, and I want to live the rest of this time that I have on this earth, no longer for my own fleshly lust, but for the will of God. And we're going to develop that more next week. But see, this is who we are. And I know all of us go through suffering. All of us know people near us who are suffering right now. And, you know, and we come to them and we tell them, I'm praying for you. Good, because that's what Paul asked for. I'm praying for you. But pray for them in the right way. Pray for God to be glorified in this suffering. That it not be wasted. That God use this for His glory, because that's what we're here for. To point people to Him. To bring glory and honor to Him. And one of the ways that we get to do that is in our suffering. See, it doesn't take an education to suffer. You don't have to have the scriptures memorized to suffer. Every believer can bring glory and honor to Jesus in their suffering. All of us. All of us suffer, and all of us can bring glory to Christ in that. Now, there's some who are gifted for all different kinds of things in the church, right? And, you know, I'm not gifted to lead worship. I love to worship, but I don't have those giftings to lead worship. I'm gifted differently. We're all differently gifted, but we all suffer. We all go through things that are hard. And we can encourage one another, help each other, strengthen each other. I'm going to tell you, brother, hold fast. I'm not going to tell you it's all going to be okay. It's all going to get better. It's going to be okay. But you may not get better in this world. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you if you just believe hard enough, that sin or that sickness will go away. That's not how this works. It's not how this works. It's the will of the Father. The will of the Father. And that's what I want. So if I have struggle, if I have suffering, yeah, I don't want to do these things. Jesus prayed, Lord, if it be your will. Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me. Nobody wants that. Nobody desires that. In His humanity, Jesus said, look, if there's another way. But nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. See, that's the life of the believer. That's the life of the one who has fully trusted and is in union with Christ. It's no longer my will that matters, but His. Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Your word. Lord, God, help us, teach us how to use every aspect of our lives to point others to Christ, Lord, even in our suffering. Some of these folks in Peter's day were struggling, and they, Lord, there was a temptation for them to go back to the old ways, the old life. God, we know that old life is dead. It's passed away. New things have come. Help us to walk in that newness. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.